This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome back to another great peer-to-peer podcast. My name is Beth Ann Stubbe, and I am the editor of Peer-to-Peer. Today, I'm joined by David Carnes, the Chief Revenue Officer of CasePoint. For this podcast, David and I will take an article-level look into the deployment of analytic applications across multiple matters and legal workflows and the message it sends back to the boardroom. ILTA listeners, please join me in welcoming David. Hi, David. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi. Thanks. Well, you know, actually, I've been an ILTA member back in the day. I started my career in legal technology during law school, and I became a director of information technology and director of practice technology, and I was an attendee at ILTACon and the rest for many years, and I'm passionate about technology and specifically its legal application, and I've been with CasePoint for just about 10 years now.
It's a great background to kind of join us on your first ILTA podcast.
Yeah, not bad. And I very much enjoy the ILTA organization. I'll try to weave in some of those comments later because I just am passionate about sharing information with my colleagues.
And I'm really glad you decided to kind of write for us. Did this specific business partner issue of peer-to-peer appeal to you, or were you looking kind of to get this incredible article out?
You know, I'm really interested in the progression of legal technology over the decades. So it kind of just really worked out well because this is a particular interest area of mine. And as someone who's been doing legal technology, I'm embarrassed to say somewhat, for 25 years, I feel like I have a pretty good perspective on this sort of thing.
It's interesting. Your article, The Proactive Potential of Analytics, it will appear in part two of the summer issue of Peer-to-Peer. But in the article, you say that, quote, analytics-based applications like TAR and predictive coding, which leverage machine learning and predictive modeling, have begun to have a major impact in the cost-heavy document review areas, specifically in high-volume cases. And we've had that kind of look before in other articles, but nobody's really dived into it. So talk to me about what you're seeing and why these applications have had such a quick uptake and impact, specifically in the legal sphere.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, if you think about it, the old trope is that lawyers are technology averse, but all evidence to the contrary, because if you think about how lawyers have used things like predictive analytics, machine learning, frankly, way ahead of many other industries. I can even think back to the early 2000s when, you know, things like OCR seemed cutting edge. And then there was also the development of near duplicate text analysis that seemed like magic in 2005. But what all of it has done is given a set of tools to lawyers to be able to more effectively either get through documents or find potentially privileged information or just triangulate whatever task they happen to be working on. And I think the uptake is because the technology truly works. And obviously it's improving. But even from the early days, I think people saw its value and saw its application for efficiency and cost cutting.
And I think that trope has been, you know, legal firms are in a race to be second, right? You know, nobody wants to try out that product. So how do you think these came about to be, you know, so widely accepted? Because the legal field is really keen for technology that's going to make something more secure or more usable.
So I think, you know, this is where the ILTA community really does come in, because there are people in the ILTA community in particular that are kind of leading the way. Often they're suggesting technologies to their lawyers and their departments. And, you know, the nice thing is it's come out in these little bite-sized pieces. So it could be the fact that, hey, you know, there's this thing called email threading. And it might be good to use it on this case. You know, I talk to a service provider. They're going to give us a chance to use it at low cost to get us kind of acclimated to it. How about we give it a try? And it's those little tiny baby steps. And when the lawyers see it working, I think that's what draws people in. And what's happened over the past, let's say, 15, 20 years is it's one little advancement after another. And that's kind of added up into this overall holistic, you know, concept of analytics that's really been very popular in the industry.
Let's break down that idea a little bit further. Later in the article, you say that quote, algorithms are repeatedly exposed to thousands or millions of specific data points, and they begin to make increasingly accurate inferences, refining our understanding of the data. And through this process, machine learning algorithms are able to make increasingly accurate predictions. Well, that's a little bit terrifying and a little bit amazing. Evolving the data is the whole thing, isn't it? How do you think these algorithms are going to continue to evolve that data?
So, you know, most predictive analytics, machine learning, neural networks, they thrive on data points. The more data points that you give it, the better it can perform. And, you know, we've seen in the, on smaller matters with less amount of data, you know, there's certainly some efficiencies and benefits from using advanced analytics, but it's really in these large data sets that people see the benefits immensely, with the number of review hours dropping like a stone, but also it's surfacing patterns of information that may be helpful to the case team. I think what's really interesting to me as well is how this applies not within individual matters, but then actually looking across an entire portfolio, probably more in the realm of a corporate legal department, but also across an entire portfolio for a law firm.
And I think that for our perspective, influencing the applications that they create is kind of that next step. Will they do so? Is data
The data sets, will they influence? You know, I think so. And the reason why is, so the most prevalent data type in any e-discovery case has got to be by far and away email. And that has driven the industry in countless ways. But, you know, we're certainly seeing more and more that WhatsApp messages and just general texting and chat, Slack and other systems like that. I mean, that's the new driver of the industry. Email hasn't been eclipsed yet, but the data sets themselves are informing the kinds of applications that will best be suited, you know, for using this kind of technology.
And I think, you know, the Slack conversation is one we have internally as well. You know, can I send it to you? Can I just Slack it to you versus, you know, I'm going to send you an email now. I think that
that's right.
The ability to move data that quickly is consistently amazing, at least for me.
But I mean, I've been around law firms long enough to remember when literally it was a memorandum that you would put in your physical outbox that would be picked up by the, you know, the internal office person twice a day. That's how you disseminated information. And then when email came about, of course, that changed everything. And as you say, now instant communications like Slack and others have really changed how we work yet again.
And I think it's probably, you know, if we're looking to better the system, these analytics, these applications, all of these data points are helping us do so. But I do, you know, have that consistent question about, you know, analytics and AI. Do you think they were going to influence their own security and data privacy?
Oh, wow. I need to unpack that for a second. You know, I think obviously anything that is allowed or anything that can provide trends of information might certainly seem a little creepy. So for example, we have in the industry for many years done things like run reports on which document reviewers are most effective. So how many documents can they get through? How many of their document calls are overturned by a QC personnel? That may be a less effective reviewer. But then think about this, you know, the technology also can be brought to bear to say, hey, well, we have these effective reviewers of documents, but what times of day are they most effective? And maybe we can actually shift their work schedule to mirror when their calls are the most consistent. And that might come off as creepy to people, and I can understand that. Then again, it's really, it's bringing out the efficiency of the system. So maybe it's worth looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily care what my Alexa is doing at 3 o'clock in the morning, as long as it's not selling my data to someone else.
Fair enough.
So what about kind of the next legal innovation? Do you see it coming out of an application, out of analytics, out of, you know, some AI learning? Where do you see it going next?
I mean, look, the industry is clearly flourishing right now. There's a lot of interest. There's a lot of startups coming onto the scene, and they're bringing to bear individual applications, individual concepts. And I think it's great because it's pushing the whole industry along. The reality is what the next big innovation probably is tying all of this together most effectively. So having individual apps that do individual things is helpful, but being able to, you know, take advantage of technology in your billing system in this a very similar way to the way you're taking advantage of your e-discovery system, in a very similar way to the way you're taking advantage in a legal hold system, that's probably where the next big innovation is. It's tying all of this together, because the legal industry has been really good at responding to needs as they evolve, but making it holistic and keeping that thread pulled together in a cohesive way, that's always been a bit of a challenge.
You end your article by talking about legal departments embracing technology and providing templates for proactive engagement. What would be the most proactive engaging application, analytics, or even just platform that you could suggest for a firm?
Well, you know, and all this is emerging, but I think any system that is bringing to the forefront patterns of information, whether it's the effectiveness of a reviewer, whether it's, you know, whether certain outside counsel are performing better than others, or whether it's just simply bringing the patterns of what a privileged document may look like. But it's surfacing that information kind of proactively without you necessarily even specifically asking for it. I think that is going to be a very influential part of this industry, is trying to bring the technology that says, hey, you haven't asked for this yet, but I'm going to give you some recommendations, and I'm not going to get in your way of lawyering, but, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Attorney, I want to make sure that you have at your fingertips the best information without you even necessarily having to query me for it. I think that's what the technology will best be suited for.
We started off some of the conversation earlier by talking about your time with ELTA before and kind of in legal technology as a whole. Do you see that the audience is markedly different now, even the just the technologists from 5 years ago or 10 or 15?
Oh, gosh. Absolutely. You know, when I started in legal technology, it was the Wild West. I mean, a lot of this stuff hadn't been figured out. I mean, literally, we were just trying to figure out the most effective way to manage email systems. And there was a lot of just broad creativity. I think in the early 2000s and kind of the past 5 or 10 years, is there's been the streamlining everything, because a lot of this Wild West stuff that we did in the late 90s and early 2000s caused a big mess, because Wild West is great except for when you kick up a lot of dust. But what I'm seeing now is that creativity coming back again, where people say, like, look, we've figured out the most effective way to manage our systems today, but now we want to take things another step further, which I think is one of the reasons why we see such an investment in the industry. And one thing is for sure, the whole concept of ILTA, where you have peers talking to each other, you get this wonderful positive feedback loop where one good idea leads to another conversation, which leads to another good idea, and all of a sudden, the industry is thinking creatively in ways that it never has before. It's one of the things that interests me about ILTA, and I see that genesis happening all over again.
I know that you're heading to ILTACon with the rest of us. Are you looking forward to any sessions or tracks? Anything on site that piques your interest?
You know, really for me, it is this concept of how do we tie it all together? You know, there's a ton going with cybersecurity right now, and it has to be the forefront of so many people's minds, data breach responses. There's also what machine learning is doing and then its application within the industry, and whether it's being judiciously implemented. But I think what really interests me is not these individual siloed conversations, but the conversation that's tying them all together. Thankfully, that's what the conference has always done a good job of, is illicit conversation amongst peers.
So what's next for you and for Case Point?
Well, I'm certainly committed to Case Point. As I say, I've already started my last job 10 years ago, and I love it there. You know, we just keep moving forward both with the e-discovery technology that we're well known for and our customers have been using for the past 10 years. But then we're also moving into our broad general legal technology platform that allows people to take advantage of applications that aren't specifically related to e-discovery, but complement their total workflow within either their legal department or law firm. So that's been really exciting for us, and that's where we will continue to march forward for, you know, quite some time.
I'm looking forward to learning all about it. Thank you, David, for joining me today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.